With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Dublin to Denver podcast. I'm Colm Cronin, and I can say the Broncos are back on the QB carousel after officially cutting Russell Wilson. Here to discuss all that and more with my co-host, Stuart Roach. Stuart, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well, Colm. I'm going to use a Russell Wilson quote, "Tough times don't last, but tough people do." However, I would add a caveat. But tough times don't last anywhere near us. Broncos search for a QB, it seems, because we're now almost entering our second decade looking for a quarterback call. 2015 was the last time we had one of note, you'd say. We're now in 2024, so we're into our ninth year of searching for the elusive quarterback. And who's to say that we're going to find one, Colm? I was greeted with... I don't know what all these articles are finished called. I think we can kind of compile them and put them in some kind of a book, which I think there would have to be a collective noun for. So the other day it was, would Jacoby Brissett be a good fit for the Broncos? So I think we've kind of, you know, I mean, they're going to be probably talking about people who've been in retirement for a couple years. How far away are we from the would Colin Kaepernick be a good fit for the Broncos offense this season? So yeah, we're... No, hey, it's seemingly never ending. It's a carousel, but at least now, Colm, we've got clarity on the situation. There is, we will not be getting any more articles about should the Broncos bring Russell Wilson back. So, you know, every cloud, obviously. Yeah, here we go again.
And I think we've discussed it at length. One of the things, though, that I will say that was interesting to see some of the reactions, because the account that was beefing with Nick Benito just a couple of weeks ago, this week, celebrating Russ being released and talking about all the Broncos' mistakes, as late as November, they were heralding Russell Wilson as the comeback player of the year. And I think it's interesting to see where people were at that point. Because I get fans, right? I get fans to an extent, especially before the season started, you know, being all in on Ross as the comeback player, analysts less so. But when it was November, like that run, it was very evident that was, you know, in spite of almost Ross, not because of. But anyway, that's where we're at. The other piece that I think is interesting that I haven't seen discussed in too many places, because the expectation has been that the Broncos are obviously going to eat a massive chunk of money, but that Russ will play on the vet minimum. And that seems to be the expectation. But Andrew Brandt, former GM with the Packers, a man who was in boardrooms and would have seen the inner workings of the league, says he doesn't think it'll be vet minimum. Because he said that it's a club, it's an owner's club, it's a cartel, if you will, and there are only so many of them, and they don't want to do each other dirty. So he says, you know, he expects that, you know, it's not going to be massive, but he said he you know, that he doesn't think Russ will play on vet minimum, because what goes around comes around. You have to see each other at meetings. You have to do business with each other again. And generally, if you try to screw over the other another owner for every single dime on the dollar, that, you know, it'll come back to bite you in some way, shape or form. I just thought that was interesting, not from a guy who has been around it and seen it.
It's why Lamar Jackson is still a Raven, Colin. Do you know, it's that was the report at the time. I think everybody expected people to go out and get Lamar because, you know, the price would have been, you know, pretty reasonable for the kind of caliber of player you're going to get. And then it was quickly kind of made known that no, the owners were not going to go down that road because it would set an incredibly dangerous precedent. So I think that makes a lot of sense, what he was saying, because it would set a precedent where you've got a team having to pay a starting quarterback salary and somebody else kind of swooping in and getting that player for what, $1-2 million. And no, the owners don't want that. So that makes sense. Yeah, I would buy that absolutely. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference anyway, Colin, to Russell's potential destinations, because you know, there's an awful lot of kind of back and forth as to where he's actually going to end up. And you know, you're beginning to see the Raiders being mentioned now as well, which I think would be interesting. But yeah, no, I would put stock in that. I think that's a very valid point. So I still think you're going to get a potential starting quarterback for, you know, an awful lot less than market value. Yeah, no, you're probably not going to see him picking up a million or whatever it is, 1.5, 2.
Yeah, I think probably what you're looking at is 6, 7, 8, 9 potentially. You know, I if it's more than that, I'd be surprised. But you know, it does mean we've seen it before. It was when Brandt said that I was kind of looking around and noticing, and Donovan Smith is an example of it. Cut by the Bucks, went to the Chiefs. Chiefs paid him $3 million rather than the minimum. So there are plenty of examples of it if you look around the league. Stuart, the other thing that jumped out at me, I suppose, is the reaction of the wide receiver room. The talk about you know, the moving on from those guys, which the rumors have been around for so long now. I just thought it was interesting in that. And again, I suppose I can understand the fan reaction to an extent, and you know, fans can get attached to players. But this is a group of receivers who are highly touted. We talked about weapons in the case of Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton. They both got significant deals. And in Jerry Jeudy's case, we all know the hype that existed when he was first drafted. They have won 1,000-yard seasons between them. And I just want to look at the past season just gone, right? Because obviously you have guys who, like, you know, Tyreek Hill, Puka Nacua, and Brandon Ayuk, right, who were on good teams and were playing with good QBs in good systems. But alongside that, you had Michael Pittman, who got over 1,100 yards playing with Gardner Minshew. You had George Pickens in what was an absolutely horrific Steelers offense with, and really, you know, they changed OC during the season. They changed QB. They don't really know what they're going to do with their quarterback. You had Chris Olave in New Orleans, and we all know the issues that Derek Carr had there. You had Garrett Wilson. That's another one who stands out. Obviously, highly touted when Garrett Wilson came into the Jets. Garrett Wilson played with a plethora of QBs with the Jets this season, including Zach Wilson, who is truly tragic. And yet Garrett Wilson managed to go over 1,000. So to me, you know, saying that their QBs weren't good. Adam Thielen is another who went over 1,000. And Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, with Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett at the end of the season, in a team that moved on from their entire coaching staff. So I think I am ready for the Broncos to move on from their current group of wide receivers, change that up entirely. Between injuries and just lack of production, I feel it's time a change is needed in Denver. The problem, of course, is that we can't do what the Rams did last season, where they had the picks to go and really make a difference. But I suppose for anything jump out to you from their reaction or anything else that has caught your eye?
Well, Corlin Sutton, he scrumped every reference to the Broncos from his socials, I think, didn't he? Now, sometimes that happens. A lot of the time, you may get a sort of a tweet on that. That was an intern who did that by mistake, and Cortland's very happy with Denver, which would suggest that they've told him that he's not being traded. I think Tim Patrick is an unfortunate one, Carl, because I think Tim Patrick is a really good player when he's fit, but he's had two seasons now where he's pretty much missed the entirety of both. And it's kind of hard to justify the salary that Tim Patrick is going to be making next year. I don't know if I'm a fan of shipping all three of them out, Colin, at the same time. I kind of get it, but I do think if you are going to bring in a rookie quarterback, which mother of all that's holy, please God, tell us that we are going to finally do that, then I think you do need to make his life a little easier. And I guess...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But it's a tricky one. I mean, I personally would keep Cortland Sutton, Colin, because I think he is a good player. And I also think he's kind of a security blanket for a young quarterback. You know, a lot of Russell Wilson's, you know, amazing throws, you know, in air quotes, a lot of them were just kind of heaving the ball up, and Cortland Sutton would produce a miracle catch, let's be honest. I think a wide receiver like that can be of a great benefit to a young quarterback. I think Tim Patrick, unfortunately, as I said, the injuries have just completely derailed his career. And Jerry Jeudy, you're getting to the stage where you're kind of going, yeah, look, he's not had amazing quarterback play, but as you pointed out, some of those other, like Wilson from the Jets column, Jesus, I mean, apart from Aaron Rodgers, some of the stuff on the field, like Trevor Simeon, I didn't even know Trevor Simeon was still in the NFL, and he started for the Jets a couple of games. So I think Jeudy is now past the point where potential is still there. Jerry Jeudy could get traded to another team and he could be a Mayhem column, but, you know, he could also get traded to another team and he continues to be the Jerry Jeudy that we've seen. The problem, though, with me saying I think we should keep Courtland Sutton is, unfortunately, Courtland Sutton is one of the few pieces that has trade value. And we are in a situation where we have a shockingly low amount of picks in this year's draft. Everyone's talking about the Broncos need to knock this draft out of the park. They have to hit on all these picks. We have very few picks, Colin. It's very hard to hit on all these picks when you have such a dearth of them. If the first pick is a quarterback, which it ought to be, then we don't have a second round pick, and then we're into the third round. Then it becomes much more difficult, you know. But I do agree with you, Colin. I think, you know, this is a wide, and it's an extremely expensive wide receiver room as well, Colin. Let's not forget that, especially when you consider the output that it's given us. But I personally speaking, I would hold on to one of them, and I don't think it can be Tim Patrick because of the injuries. So I would probably hold on to Courtland Sutton. But that's, you know, I can also see why he may not be there for much longer. To be honest, Colin, by the time this podcast comes out, we're recording this on Wednesday here in Dublin, and by the time this podcast comes out, one of the wide receivers probably will have been traded. I honestly expected Courtland Sutton to have been gone by now, given the sort of the flurry of activity that seemed to happen after Wilson was released. So I was a little surprised that he was still here. But I do think, like, when we're looking at trade pieces, Collins, you're looking at Gareth Bowles, you're looking at Pat Surtain, you're looking at Justin Simmons, and you're looking at Courtland Sutton. There really isn't much more after that. Like, if you tried to trade Jerry Jeudy, what are you getting from? Fourth? Fifth? Maybe? You're certainly not getting a second. Not a hope. You're not probably not going to get a third. Courtland Sutton, you probably would get a third. So maybe, you know, maybe that's more appealing because we desperately need draft picks, Colin. We're not going to be able to get this thing turned around with the ammunition that we have. And we also need to continue to clear up some cap space. I think the likes of, say, DJ Jones, you know, Tim Patrick, I expect to be released in the next couple of days. But we're still, you know, even allowing for the fact that the NFL increased the cap next year by, what, like 30-odd million, we still are in cap hell. So there's a lot of maneuverings to be made, Colin. But if it was me, I'd keep Courtland Sutton and I would ship out Jerry Jeudy for whatever you could get from.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. We do desperately need draft picks. I concur with you there. The Broncos, I think, made the mistake of not pulling the trigger on some of the trades last year, looking for too much overvaluing their players. Probably not as much as the Carolina Panthers, who turned down two firsts for Brian Burns and then decided not to pay him for some reason. So they have franchise tagged him. Broncos not tagging anyone this year. Sometimes that's a sign of a team, you know, that it kind of knows where it's at. I think probably this year with the Broncos, it's a sign that there wasn't anyone perhaps that could potentially be leaving that we really wanted to keep around. For you, Stuart, I suppose, obviously, look, the week has been dominated with the Russ news, the confirmation. But has there been anything other than that and the wide receivers that has caught your eye? We're now obviously, this time next week, we're going to be into the league season. At this point, it's still somewhat treading water. People getting ready for it. We've obviously seen the Bills make huge changes there, and Vaughn, a trade that hasn't worked out for them, or a signing that hasn't worked out for them, kind of eat up or decide to kind of give some money back to stay in Buffalo. But anything from a Broncos perspective that has kind of caught your eye?
I think if Sean Payton has fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy, Colin, it's looking more and more likely after the combine that we're going to have to trade up for him. He did his stock huge amounts of good, it seemed. I thought you know, the quarterbacks didn't throw that through the ball. I thought they all helped themselves. I thought Bo Nix looked good. I thought Michael Penix Jr. looked good. And I thought JJ McCarthy in particular looked good. And there are increasing noises now about our old friends, the Giants, being in the QB mix column, which, you know, anybody who's had to suffer through a Daniel Jones performance in the last year should find not a surprise at all. Thinking of your old friend Brian from the Irish NFL show, I'd imagine he'd be very keen for the Giants to draft JJ McCarthy and say goodbye to their version of QB hell. So, yeah, I think I kind of spent most of my time looking at the quarterbacks in the combine column. And I do think that I'd be delighted with Bo Nix, and I'd be particularly delighted with JJ McCarthy. Penix Jr., I think he has got some issues with the injuries. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at many more. But yeah, that is beginning to, that was the talk going into the combine column, that JJ McCarthy was a player, you know, the one player from the QB position that could really help his stock. And he did everything that he could have done to do that. And he kind of passes the eye test. He looks like a franchise QB. He talks like a franchise QB. And he made the kind of throws. He has a live arm. He wasn't asked to use it an awful lot for Michigan because they had such a dominant run game and an elite defense. But JJ McCarthy looks like he has all the tools. So if he is Sean Payton's guy, and that was the report, we're going to have to do something to get there. Or do we see what happens with Bo Nix, who again also I think would fit Sean Payton's offense. I'd heard him described as an elite point guard, which in Sean Payton's offense is not meant as a knock on him. He, you know, this particular report said that he would do exactly what Sean Payton wants him to do. So yeah, that was the only other thing that stood out, Colin. I do think we're still kind of, I know we've said it pretty much every week, but we are still sort of waiting for the first major domino to fall. The Justin Fields news now is all over the place. You know, you're beginning to hear other, like there was a strong report in the last 48 hours, Colin, that Kirk Cousins, major target for the Falcons. James Palmer then sort of added the Broncos name to the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, which is, you know, that's a fabulous idea to go out and spend money that we don't have on a, what, 35-year-old QB who's coming off a massively serious injury last year. Yeah, that sounds exactly like the Cousins Broncos would do. So here's hoping that it's actually not true. But, I, you know, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons is interesting, because then you, I think I certainly would be guilty. I'm not sure about yourself, but I just presumed that the Falcons was the obvious choice for Justin Fields. If that is not the case, then suddenly the whole NFL quarterback carousel landscape takes on a vastly different shape to the one that we thought. But I do think the next time we speak on this show, Carl, I do think significant moves will have been made. And I think we'll have a clearer picture as to what way the offseason is going to look from a quarterback perspective, if nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, the Kirk stuff is interesting because I think it was Diana Rossini who I saw as well talk about how she was obviously now national kind of reporter insider, but spent a lot of time around in Washington, around the now Commanders. And she says that basically the Shanahan coaches, or those coming off of the Shanahan tree, love Kirk Cousins because Kirk is a kind of a plug and play. He does what you tell him to do. He doesn't tend to go off script. And so, you know, point and click, they love him. But she did point out that the issue for any team signing Kirk, as you have rightly pointed out, Stuart, is the medical. And there isn't a combine for free agents. So you don't get to see what Kirk's medicals look like. You have no idea before you hand out that contract. I could be totally wrong in this, but my feeling was the fact that the Broncos allowed the Russ thing to happen now this week tells me that Sean Payton knows what he wants to do. Does he get that done? I don't know. But I think he at least has a clear plan. The problem is that others can derail that plan if they go up and get the QB that you wanted. So, but I think, yeah, we're going to see what plays out. If I was to say to you at this point, just before we wrap up, where you think Russ most likely ends up at this point? Do you have a sense of it? Because I have, for me, I think I've probably narrowed it to one team where I think he ends up.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This time last week, I would have said the Steelers. But there's been quite a lot of noise about how the Steelers are happy with Kenny Pickett, which I kind of find sort of... I guess Kenny Pickett looked okay in his first season, calling me. You know, he spent most of last season injured. I still can see Wilson at the Steelers because I think perhaps Mike Tomlin may be able to kind of rein in some of his eccentricities and sort of some of his sort of peculiar behavior. And the one thing about the Steelers, Colin, it is very much team. And it's, it would be a question of Russell buying into that. But I think, Colin, if he doesn't end up with the Steelers, I'm not really sure where he is. And after that, he may end up as a bridge QB somewhere, I don't think he would be a particularly good bridge QB because I think he's got a unique skill set and I think it doesn't really, I don't know if it is the kind of thing that one would, not that in regards to personality or anything like that, but more in the type of quarterback that Russell Wilson is when it comes to mentoring a young QB. So I'm not sure. I kind of thought that the Steelers made most sense for him. But now I'm not 100% sure. So you've tagged me along there. You're going to tell me who you've narrowed it down to because I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah, I could be completely wrong, obviously. Though Colin Cowherd would tell you that being wrong doesn't matter. It's about being interesting. That's his defense, genuinely. That's what he says. He may have a point. I think Russ is going to stay in the AFC, all right. I think he's going to stay in the AFC West. I think Russell Wilson, yes, I think so. Russ doesn't make sense to me in Pittsburgh. It's just a kind of a strange culture fit. Very much a blue-collar town. In stark contrast, Vegas, has that allure as such. And they have to put bums on seats. The reality for the Raiders is that stadium has become much like the when the Chargers play at home. It is dominated by away or road fans. And Mark Davis is a guy who likes the glitz and glamour. I had the good fortune to be there at opening night of the Super Bowl. It was the first time it had been held in the stadium. He was smiling like a Cheshire cat because it set a record attendance. He loved that. You can't tell me that, having the opportunity to bring Russ in, kind of put one over on your rivals as such, to get him on a relatively cheap deal. And again, it's not like the Raiders have a huge amount of money to play with. We're not talking amongst the richer owners. And I don't think that they would probably willing to give Russ the sort of assurances of, hey, we're not going to take somebody in the draft this year. So you're going to get your opportunity to show us what you can do in 2024. And we believe in you. He has Devonta Adams there. So again, the Raiders they like star names. They like to bring it in. And they having just moved to Vegas recently, I think it would hold a lot of allure. So they could bring Russ in, $6 million deal, right? The Broncos are still getting lumbered with all of it. They can, because of Jimmy Garoppolo's failed PEDS test, they can move on from Jimmy with no, hurt to them. I think it is, I just think that's when I look around the league, I don't see Russ going to Minnesota. That isn't Kevin O'Connell, again, is one of those Washington era coaches. He wants a guy who's going to play on script, I believe. There aren't a huge number of other vacancies. I just don't see it going again to Atlanta. Maybe, but the way in which Raheem Morris was talking, it sounded like, you know, that they probably were the ones who were most likely to be in for Cousins, and they have the money to pay Cousins. To me, at this point in time, but I may well be wrong, but Russell Wilson could well be a Raider.
One thing, Colm, I would say makes sense is you have to remember Mark Davis would have grown up watching his dad, and the one thing about Al Davis and the Raiders is they absolutely love that deep ball. That's part of the Raiders' DNA is bombs away, that big deep ball to that fast wide receiver. So you can kind of see why that might be the kind of thing. Because in fairness to Russell Wilson, Colm, the one thing he still does well is he still does throw a good deep ball. So, yeah, I now that you say it, it probably does make a little bit more sense than the Steelers, because, you know, when I was talking about the Steelers, as I did point out, he would have to buy into that Steelers culture. And at this stage, maybe he's just, you know, he's at the point where he doesn't have to be kind of changing himself. Maybe he just wants to go to a landing spot that'll buy Russ for who he is. And, you know, I guess, yeah, he certainly has a little bit more cachet about him than Jimmy G. So, you know, there is still, and the redemption story and the fact that he gets to play his old team twice a season, there is a bit of glitz there. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, now that you say it, Colm, it does make sense. And hey, let's, you know, add a little bit more spice to the Raiders Broncos games, because, you know, because not being able to beat the Raiders with Russell Wilson as the QB is probably, you know, it's one of the next circles of hell that we have yet to descend into. But hey, let's keep going. Let's keep bringing it on all the time. There's a new depth. Anytime you think you've hit rock bottom with us, there's just one around the corner waiting to sort of say hello and invite you in.
No worse, there is none. That poem by Jared.
A podcast, and that's what we should rename this podcast. We've got a lot of Irish poetry fans kind of listening in and go, what the hell are these two goons talking about?
Always good to end on an Irish poetry reference. we'll be back next week to delve once again into the wonderful world of the Denver Broncos. If you enjoy the podcast, please do rate, review, and subscribe, or just tell a friend. You can find Stuart on Twitter at PurpleHeartTC. I'm across social media at Colm from Cork. All that remains to be said is go Broncos.
Go Broncos.